don't have that many listeners yet. I have a small, strong listener base who I love. And I feel like the message is so good that I just want other people to hear it. So the first step is to grow the listenership. How do I do that?
There's over 1.9 million podcasts. Most of them never see the results they expected. They want to monetize, but their show ends up costing them money, and they never achieve the listenership they desire. This show will help you launch, grow, monetize, and inspire with your podcast. Get ready to take notes, because here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, hey, it's Adam Adams. And generally, as you may have gotten accustomed to, any even-numbered episode is supposed to be me alone pouring into you and your business. However, I did so many different interviews with so many really, really good people that on this episode today, even though this would typically just be me pouring into your business, me just sharing something short, like 5, 10, 20 minutes, where I poured into you and your podcast and growing your brand and really getting you in front of everybody, I'm going to do that today with an interview. So let's get right into it. And we're back with another episode of the podcast on podcasting. And this is going to be an interview with Joe Knispel. How are you, Joe?
I'm doing so well. It's so good to see you again. I feel like I've been so busy over the last couple of weeks. I haven't seen you as much on Clubhouse as much as I would like to. So I'm looking forward to getting back to that.
I definitely understand that. And I haven't really been on either, but that's where we met, me and Joe. Joe runs and is the host of an awesome podcast with an awesome message. And I really mean that. It's a message that I think we all need to be a part of, regardless of gender. I like it. It's called Pillow Talk with Bros, and it really helps all people to be able to get vulnerable, get authentic, be able to be themselves, love themselves, care about themselves, and go ahead and put ourselves out there. So he really is helping. Well, I think everybody, but we'll say he's helping men, because Pillow Talk with Bros, he's helping a lot of men be able to show that vulnerable side. Since I would say, I hate to be sexist, but us men, we often suppress some of those things, and it makes it hard for us to sometimes connect with others. So, Joe, why don't you give us a bit of your background, and we're going to dive in, and I think you're going to really help us become more vulnerable, more open, open-minded, and be able to make sure that as we have our podcast, that we are being our authentic self, which I think is just so important. So share a little bit about you and we'll get into some questions.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I'm from Nebraska, first and foremost. So I think with that background, I grew up around a lot of people who didn't necessarily know how to express themselves. And I think I had that problem too. My first job was detasseling corn out in the cornfields. So I was really Nebraska. Like, it could not be more Nebraskan. And I think the thing that drew me to vulnerability was a relationship that I was in. I got married fairly young, right out of college. I was in my 20s. I probably would have married her if I found her sooner. But I noticed that I was not very good at communicating with her. And that was my own problem, because I didn't know. Actually, what I think it was, now that I can look back on it, was the fear was, if I communicated what I was actually feeling, I would be left, that I would not be good enough to stick around for. And I didn't want that. So instead of engaging in conflict, I ran away from it, because if I engaged in it, it'd be over. And that was not an option for me. But I was really just sinking my own boat there. It was a really slow, slow sink. And so after that experience, we ended up getting divorced. And after that experience, I told myself, I never want to feel that way again. I never want to do that. And looking at all the people that I had grown up with, they also were these people that didn't want to engage in conflict, didn't want to talk about it. And so I learned a lot about vulnerability when I went to graduate school for acting. I'm an actor. I've moved all over the country several times. I lived in Chicago for a couple of years. I lived in Florida for 3 years, getting my MFA in acting from the FSU Oslo Conservatory for Actor Training. And then I lived in New York for 4 years. And all of that training, all that experience just showed me how much people want to not only share their stories, but to have their stories be heard by people. And that's like when it kind of clicked that I realized in my own going through this process, realizing I wasn't making room for other people's stories. I wasn't very good at listening, which is another part of communication, that I was focusing so much on talking so much that I forgot to listen. And it was through the listening that I really started becoming a lot more vulnerable, because I saw that what was making them them, and then they were able to accept what made me me if I accepted what made them first.
Very interesting. I like that. Thank you for jumping in and sharing some of your experience and how you learned this and how you got to where you are. On your podcast, Pillow Talk with Bros, exploring masculinity through open beers and open hearts.
Yeah.
Share with us on that podcast, what are you trying hardest to accomplish by hosting this show? If you could name the very top thing.
The very top thing is to show men that their value does not lie in how much power they have, but in how much power they can give to other people. And I think that comes from when we are vulnerable. The reason why men are so afraid to be vulnerable is because it admits some sort of weakness in their mind, I think. At least the men that I've talked to. I can't speak for all men. I know for me, when I have problems being vulnerable, I don't want to appear as weak. I'm usually known as the guy, when people have problems, they come to me to fix it. And if I'm weak, they will no longer do that. And again, I will be abandoned again. There's this abandonment theme. And so I would really just love for men to show them that actually being vulnerable with people pulls people closer to you and not further away. And at times it might feel like people are leaving me, but I would dare to say that vulnerability pushes the wrong people away and pulls the right people closer. And not to forget about that, that if there are people leaving, they're probably the wrong people for your circle that you're trying to create. And that's the big thing. Vulnerability brings people closer. It doesn't push them away.
I agree 100%, which is, it's interesting. I just like being vulnerable on my podcast, for example. A lot of times, I'll say or whatever I'm doing right now. And I would say a lot of times it makes me feel like, hey, I'm not perfect. I'm not being the best example. And what if my listener, who's also going to be a podcaster or is already a podcaster, thinks to themselves, I don't want to learn from Adam because he says sometimes, or because his podcast isn't some certain thing that they're looking for. Because no matter what it is, there's always a critic, right? There's always going to be a critic. And if I'm concerned about pleasing everyone and being perfect, I'm not really being my genuine self. I'm not letting people in. And when I have opened up, been vulnerable, I've always gotten the most amount of benefit. When I've shared a mistake that I've made, whether it was on my real estate podcast where I made a real estate mistake, or on my podcast about on podcasting where I've made a some type of podcasting mistake, or showing that I'm, you know, still learning and growing and learning how to be a better interviewer. For example, right now I'm doing a monologue while I'm interviewing Joe, and that's another no-no. You know what I mean? But being willing to say, hey, here's just some thoughts, benefits somebody else, and that allows them, I think, to say, oh, well, I like Adam. It's easy to get along with him. It's easy to follow what he's doing, what he's saying. And even though he's still learning along the way, he's given me those extra tips. So I've always felt like opening up does pull people closer, even when you're afraid that it's going to fight people off. You said you might just be fighting the wrong people off, and that's okay. And I agree 100% wholeheartedly. If we are struggling with being our authentic self on our podcast, admitting to the truth, admitting to all of these kinds of things, that we're not perfect, that we're still growing, or that if we cuss, or if we have tattoos and we're thinking, oh, nobody should know that I've got these tattoos, or I'll be chasing away the wrong people if I use the language that I'm normally using, so I better really build that up, or let me wear a suit on my podcast to make sure that people know that I'm a business person, but man, this suit is so uncomfortable. I hate it. I can't wait until the end of this podcast episode because I want to take the suit off. How do we be better at that, Joe? Can you give us a few tangibles that might help us to be able to authentically, I guess, be vulnerable, be okay with who we are, regardless of perfections or imperfections?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And I'm so glad and thankful you brought up the thing about, you know, oh, if I don't look professional, because even for this podcast, I was like, should I wear this shirt or should I wear my bro gear that I usually wear when I record my podcast? I have this like Nebraska bomber jacket. I wear a backwards cap because I have these multiple sides of me. I am a bro. I love to go to tailgates and tackle a case of Blue Yummies, which is Bud Light, for those of you who don't know that terminology.
It was like a Blue Yummy. What the heck is a Blue Yummy?
Yeah,
it sounds very dirty.
Maybe it does. BL smoothies. We also call them BL smoothies. But there's that part of me, right? That Nebraska part of me that just loves to chill with the guys out around a campfire after a long day of like fishing or something. And we're just shooting the breeze, having a good time. But there's also this part of me too, in this nice shirt. I like to wear nice clothes. I like to dress up. I like to look fancy. And that's okay. I can have those different parts of me. Where I think the thing that I would tell people, if you're looking to be more vulnerable, because a lot of the times we wait for other people to be vulnerable with us until we're comfortable with it. But if you are not reading a story that you want to read, then you have to write it. And you have got to practice vulnerability first, and then other people will come to you. And so I would say the trick for me, the way that I did it, was that I started very, very slowly, and I did it through whatever medium I could do it. For example, I went through a really, really bad depressive episode when I first got to grad school, because 2 months before I moved, I had a younger brother who passed away. And at that time, when it first happened, I kind of went through the period, what some people call the forgotten sibling, where everybody puts their focus onto the parents. And rightfully so, because it's a terrible thing to lose a child. And it's a terrible thing. It was probably the worst thing I've ever seen my parents go through. I've never seen my dad cry like that before, ever. See, maybe shed a couple tears, but never just openly weep and wail. I would use the word wail because that's what it sounded like to me. And I've never seen that before. And it put me in this state of, I wasn't on solid ground. And I focused all my attention to them. I had to be strong for them. And then when I got to graduate school and I was away from my family, when it was just me, whew, I just broke down. I like all of the grief that I was holding back just hit me all at once. And it was a lot of shame and guilt too, because I was telling myself the story that I wasn't a good enough brother for him, that maybe if I would have been there for him more, if I would have answered the phone call, if I would have all these different things, that maybe this situation would be different. Because I didn't feel like I was around for my brothers often. I was off acting. I'm much older than them. But the thing that changed it all was I was talking to my other younger brother over Facebook Messenger. And I just, for whatever reason, had the courage and typed out, I don't think I was a good enough brother to James. Boom, and sent the message. And my brother responded to me, Joe, I think you're a really good big brother. And even if you didn't think you were around enough, seeing you go after your dreams has helped me be brave enough to go after mine. And that thought, hearing that from him, seeing that come through the screen, instantly it was like, not only was he saying it, but my brother James was saying it too, right? It was like he was saying that with him, through him. And I never would have gotten this burden lifted off of me if I had never just had the courage to type out that one thing. And I don't know if I could have done that if I was sitting to him face to face, right? I don't know if I would have had the energy, the courage to do it, but I did through the keyboard. So I would encourage people, whatever means you need to start with, whether it's typing something out through text or a Facebook message, whether it's writing a letter. I've done letters a lot. When I went through a program, a book called The Inner Gym. And one of the parts of the Inner Gym, it's like a 30-day mental workout. One of the things was to write letters to people who have helped you and thank them for that. So that's one way I would say is just start slowly, be forgiving of yourself, but do it in whatever means you feel comfortable with. Because even through the screen, it was powerful for me to hear that I was a good brother from my brother. I didn't need to hear it face to face. And that's one tangible thing that I can think of off the top of my head in this moment.
Good stuff. Love it. I think it is powerful. I'm just processing it and absorbing it. you were going through something, you were concerned the first time with your parents, and then when they weren't in front of you, that's when you kind of opened up. I've definitely been there and felt that way before, maybe not with the exact same situation, but I've felt similar way. Like I had to kind of show up for people in a certain way when I was kind of off onto my own, where I was able to process it a little bit better. And then the second thing that I took from that is, like, you were holding all of this pressure, this burden, and wondering if you were enough, nervous if you were enough. And you could have just been quiet about it, right? But then you decided to message your other younger brother, hey, I don't think I was this. And that was able to open up a door, not just to your current brother, but also James as well, who had passed away. And you really felt like you had left that burden, let go of that pressure, that stress, that burden. And it started with you opening the door. I wish I could remember the exact quote that you said. It's something like, if you're not reading the book that you want to read, you got to write it.
Yeah.
And I could have totally botched that, but I thought that that was interesting. Like, there's this song called, I don't know what it's called, but it goes, "Darling, if you want me to be closer to you, then get closer to me." And then it reminds me also of a movie that I saw. It was a funny movie where I think it was like Will Smith was helping some other guy like learn how to be a womanizer or something like this. And he talked about the 90-10 rule. And it's the same thing, Joe, with what you're saying. Like, you've got to come 90 and then let the other person come the other 10. But you've got to make really the first step. If you want to be reading the book that you want to read and you can't find it, go ahead and write it. If you want to have that conversation, go ahead and start it. If you want me to be closer to you, then get closer to me. And if you want to open up and be vulnerable, if you want that to happen, as you stated in the beginning, some of us wait for the other person, but truly the way to do it faster and easier is to be the one to take that first step. I remember somebody, like, I was dating this girl and she fight with her mom. And I was like, you got to be the bigger person. And she's like, but I'm the kid. Like, why would I? And it's just like, someone's got to be. And if your mom's not going to be the one to step in and apologize, then you should. And she did it. And it really worked out for a good amount of time. I wouldn't say forever. They get in another fight later on. But it was pretty interesting, like that aha moment of, man, if I want this to happen, I just should be the one to start that. So powerful, a lot of good stuff. Want to find out, when we got on the call in pre-interview time, before we start pressed record, you mentioned that you are in St. George, Utah, which I have a bunch of family that lives in St. George. It's too bad you're leaving in a month, but you're in St. George and teaching acting, and you're thinking like maybe the next step that you want to take is to really monetize your podcast and what you've been doing in podcasting. Can you share with the listener what you think that might look like in case they want to monetize in a similar way?
Yeah, I think the first step. So one of the things that when I'm going to monetize it is I want to make sure that I'm growing at a pace that works for me. Sometimes I know, like, if I get really excited about something, I can start something like dive in head first. And then it gets to this place that is out of my control because I've tried to grow it too quick, too soon. For me, it works better to have it be more of a slow build. So my first, I think, step for me to monetize is to get more people to listen to the podcast, because I don't have that many listeners yet. I have a small, strong listener base who I love. And I feel like the message is so good that I just want other people to hear it. So the first step is to grow the listenership. How do I do that? First, for me, I need to do a better job at making my podcast searchable. I need to increase SEO. For me, that looks like I'm going to build a webpage and I'm going to transcript all of my podcast episodes and put them on my webpage. So that way, anything that we say during the interview, if people Google it, it'll come up for my podcast because it's on a webpage that I've posted the transcriptions. And then I really want to start, after I get the webpage and the transcriptions and everything, at one hub for all of my stuff. I really want to increase my outreach more. I want to get more active on LinkedIn, more active on Facebook groups, more active reaching out through stories, Instagram reels. having Instagram lives or Facebook lives where I'm interacting with the people who are listening. So that way, because I know people aren't going to listen to my podcast for what I know until they know how much I care about it. And I want the listeners to know that I care about them first and foremost. What's working for you? What conversations have been inspiring for you? What things have I not talked about that you'd like me to talk about? And that's how I feel like that first year is all about making it searchable and interacting with my audience and growing it from there. And we'll see how I do with that. And I have thought about outsourcing some of that stuff, the LinkedIn, the Facebook, that kind of stuff, to reaching out to people. I've thought about outsourcing that. That's something that I'm looking at doing. But those are my first steps, I think, in the next year of trying to make it bigger and grow money off of it. And then after that, I think money will either come or it doesn't, but I'm going to start with listenership.
Good stuff. Couple takeaways. So your route is to become searchable, work on SEO. You'll do that by getting a website, making sure that you have like a blog where you're talking about each and every episode, and you'll actually put the transcription so that all of the terms discussed are going to be up there. And additionally, you're going to kind of do a little bit more outreach to grow your audience on social media like LinkedIn and Facebook and other places as well. And most importantly, making sure that the listener knows that you care, because sometimes we don't care what you have to say until we know that you care. Is that right?
Yeah, totally right.
The big takeaway that I got from all of that, though, was that you want to have a slow build because you don't want it to kind of get out of control. Interestingly enough, that's what I'm going through with my company right now. I was so excited. I didn't even spend any money on marketing, but it was like Clubhouse and then a couple of masterminds are like, Adam's the best at helping you grow a podcast. And we just got so many clients in the last few weeks that I'm like working 100 hours a week, literally not exaggerating. I'm working like 100 hours in many different weeks, but at least 80 a week. And it's been insane. And I'm just like, man, like I need to hire people. I need to get this figured out. We hired 3 new people last week and we're still like just slammed. And so that slow build is really hitting me hard. It's like a knife cutting through me. I'm like, damn, I should have done the slow build. That sounds so much better right now. serving a lot of people is good. Making a lot of money is good, but I think I should have done the slow build. So why didn't we have this conversation 2 months ago, Joe? I love it. I hope it resonates with somebody for sure.
Yeah. Well, and that just reminds me of this quote. So I read this book called Present Over Perfect by Shauna Nyquist. And she was having a conversation with a pastor who had started this church and it got to be this big, humongous mega church. And he didn't know what to do because there were so many people. He didn't know how to help everybody. He didn't know how to get all these events organized. And he was asking her for advice. And she was like, well, why did you build it so big? He's like, well, it wasn't my fault. Like, people just kept coming. And she said, well, you're the one who kept putting out the chairs because they needed a place to sit. And that's true. We are the people who are setting out the chairs for people to come and listen. And so you really got to be mindful of, am I able to put more chairs out right now for people? Or should I just stick with the people I've got and tell the other people, love to keep in touch, please. I don't have any chairs right now. Check back with me later to see when I can get some more chairs up for you. And that's always what I think about. Like, I'm in control of how many chairs I set out for people in my circle and how many chairs is enough for me at this moment, in this present moment.
Yeah. But then there's also fear of missing out.
Wow.
Total FOMO, right? It's like, I think to myself, all right, if I tell everybody that I'm on a wait list, if I tell everybody I can't take on any clients right now, they're going to get served by someone else. Then I'm going to miss out. And I actually feel like if they go, I really truly feel like this. I think it's interesting that I'm bringing up on the podcast. If they start a podcast without me, or if they start a podcast with somebody else, I just feel like they're not going to be served well, right? I feel like they're going to have a crappy podcast. Nobody's going to be listening. They're going to be frustrated. They're not going to be making money or able to monetize or having any listeners. They're not going to have any social proof. And I'm thinking like, I can't do that to people. I can't push them off because I really feel like what we do is so remarkable that I just feel so bad about pushing somebody to anyone else that can't serve them the way that we can. And so I think that there's part of the fear of missing out, like, well, I'm going to lose revenue by not taking on the client. And also like, man, I really care about this person and it seems like they have a great podcast idea. I don't want to see them ruin it by going with someone else. And it's like nerve wracking. So I say, here's another chair. And then I'm ripping out my hair. Man, I'm working so many hours just to serve who we have. And I need to figure out how to systemize it and hire and make sure that we can serve them. But is there any thoughts that you have to support me? Just in case anyone else, Joe, is going through this as well. I'll definitely get a lot out of it. But hopefully somebody listening is like, okay, that was valuable.
Well, I guess my first question to you would be, the fear of missing out is real. But I think you just have to really be clear and specific of what are you missing out on? You said a couple things, revenue, which is a big one. But you can always ask yourself the question, is this revenue necessary for this lifestyle that I want to live right now? I mean, the extra revenue, probably making enough money. I mean, always would we like to make more? Yeah. But at what cost are we making more? Because if I'm having to work 100 hours a week, I'm not actually spending time with the people that I actually want to spend time with. And that extra money is not going to do us any good if I'm not able to spend it with them.
Yeah.
It's just going to 100%. Sit. It's just going to sit in the bank. The second thing, which I really love about you, is that how much you do care about people. And I'm wondering, the fear of missing out for them, is it really the fear that they're going to fail, the person? Or do you feel like every single client you've taken on, the message of the podcast is a message that the world needs to hear at this time?
I feel that way about most of my clients. Like when I'm listening to their show to offer feedback and everything, I constantly am saying, I am so impressed with the message. I personally love this podcast. I'm personally getting a lot out of this podcast. I never would have found it if they didn't hire me. Other people need to get this. So I do constantly think of that as well. I cannot say wholeheartedly and honestly that every single client that I'm thinking, holy cow, this needs to get out, right? But I do care about the client themselves. And a lot of times I think if they do this with anyone else, it's going to be really hard. It's going to be an uphill battle if they try to do this. So go ahead.
Well, I'm really, really curious to know, why does Adam feel like it's his responsibility to help everyone?
Why do I feel like it's my responsibility to help everyone? Maybe it's not everyone, but maybe it is everyone that I come in contact with. Maybe it's not that I need to serve everyone because there's over 2 million podcasts. And even if I found a way to systemize it all and hire enough, if you help 2 million podcasters at the exact same time, then all washes out anyways. So I don't feel like I need to help everyone, but I feel like the universe puts people in front of me for a reason. And that it's probably my duty to make sure that I help them because they're my neighbor. If you look at the Bible, that's my neighbor. Those are the people that are coming in contact. That's when they say, love your neighbor, help your neighbor, support the neighbor. Then I'm thinking, these are the people that might not live next door to me, but these are the people that I meet on Clubhouse. These are people that come to me through relationships that I've built. And I feel strongly that if I do help them, every single podcast that we've helped has gotten, if they paid to be in top 1%, they're either at top 1%, 0.5%, 9 times better than top 1%. So we crush it. We couldn't do that with 2 million podcasts. But I think if I have the bandwidth and time and attention, I should be able to do that with a couple thousand podcasts to have all couple thousand of them in the top 1%. So anyway, does that answer your question?
Yeah. I mean, you have a really great problem, and this is that you like to give, which is a great problem to have. How do I set expectations so that I'm not giving what I don't have to give? Because sometimes when we give and we give and we give and we give, at some point we run out if we're not giving back to ourselves as well. And so when I hear you, I resonate a lot with the message that you're talking about because it sounds a lot to me like there's an issue of loyalty here. You have these relationships with people and you like to be very loyal to the people that have given you something in return. It sounds like you're building relationships with these people that have given you something, that has given you value, and you want to give value back to them. I'm curious to what your relationship with boundaries are. How good are you at setting boundaries?
I'm probably going to have to say that I am generally bad at it. You probably already expected that. But I do want to make sure that this podcast is about you. So even though I'm opening up and being vulnerable with our pillow talk, bro.
Yeah, man.
I will say you're probably onto something. I probably suck at boundaries and I need to get there. And this has been a phenomenal therapy session already. I need you to give me your Venmo so I can take care of you. It's been powerful and valuable to me. And I hope to the listener as well that they're just kind of listening. I don't know if they're running or cooking or driving right now, but definitely feel that it was valuable to more than just me to kind of go through some of that as well. I want to find out from you the top things that you would want to give to a brand new podcaster. And I mean brand new, like they've been doing this less than 2 years or they're about to start. And what are the top two or three things you have in mind that can help that listener become a better podcaster?
Number one, I would really, really implore people to really sit down and think about and clarify and specify what your why is. Why are you doing a podcast? Why do you feel like you need to do one? What's the message? And why does that message need to be shared by you? I think everybody has something to share. I'm a firm believer that everybody has something unique about them that if they talk about a certain subject, it'll ring a different way because I'm saying it, right? No one can say it like you. Clarifying what your why is. And as soon as I figured out what my why was, that I wanted people, and specifically men, to feel and experience love, because there was a time where I felt disconnected from that. When I figured out that I wanted people to feel and experience love when they're around me, everything shifted. I was able to have a central message to people. And what love means to me is way different than what love means to the listener right now. You listening, cooking, running, whatever you're doing. And I hope you're writing these things down to clarify your why. Because as soon as I figured out I want people to feel and experience love, I immediately went to, okay, how does that happen? Connection. Connection is the first pillar for me. I want to connect with people and I need to connect with myself. If I'm not connected to myself, that is something I find I'm the most disconnected from other people when I'm disconnected from myself. That's the first pillar. And as soon as I can connect with myself, I can connect with other people. I start to see the greatness in others and myself, which is the second pillar of love, being able to see the greatness in other people and myself. And when I'm able to do that, I'm able to build the network and relationships with my friends and family, which is the third pillar of love, friends and family. And if I'm able to grow those relationships will help me grow, which is the fourth pillar, growth. And then if I'm able to grow, if I'm having growth in myself, I am now able to help other people, which is the fifth pillar. But I can't get to helping other people. I can't skip the other steps, right? I heard a podcast that you did about real estate. Are you not getting, they weren't getting something. And one of the things was they were skipping the steps. That's what you said was what they were doing. They were skipping steps.
Yeah.
Creating their leads or I know what it was.
It's the five steps to getting deals. And the fifth step is talking to the real estate brokers to get those deals. But you got to do all of these other things before that ever happens, because the broker's going to cut you off at the knees if those other steps aren't done. And people are like, they're like, oh, I'm just going to go straight to talking to the broker, and they never get a deal and they never know why. So I love what you're saying. Yeah, we don't want you to skip steps. So step one, I mean, idea one for the listener is understand your why. Make sure you know what the message is and why you're the one who has to give it. What is unique about your message? And your message, Joe, is these three pillars of love. Am I saying it right? Is it the three pillars of love or the five pillars?
Five pillars of love.
And we're only in the third pillar. So what are the last two?
If I'm just to list them out, number one is connection. Number two is seeing the greatness in yourself and others. Number three is friends and family. Number four is growth. Number five is helping others. I firmly believe that you'll feel and experience love if you're helping others. But you can't get there without first getting connection. Connect with other people and connect with yourself. That's the number one step. And I harp on this a lot, finding about your why, because if you're a podcaster, if you're in it right now, maybe you're going through pod fade or burnout, like really solidifying your why will help you in those moments of when you're burnt out, because you'll be able to lean back on this foundation of this is why I'm doing it. Checking in with my why again. Is it that important for me for people to feel connection with themselves and others? Yes, it most certainly is important. Do I feel like I have enough connection in my life? No, let me get back on the mic and let me connect with somebody today, because it's going to increase my connection with someone else. And then it'll allow me something like even our connections right now, I'm talking to you right now, Adam, some of the things that you say allow me to see the greatness in myself, because I see a part of myself through you. And when I see you going through things that maybe you're struggling with, I then see myself going through those same things. And now I can, with the gentleness that I'm treating you, that I converse with you, I can now talk to myself in that same gentle tone, because I've seen an external version of what it means for me to struggle like this. And I know what this person needed. Now I can give it to myself. And so in those moments, those new podcasters, having these things that you can lean on that are so important to you, that's what gets you up and pushes record the next day. That's what makes it possible for you to continue going on. Because if you don't have a strong message, if you don't believe in it, it's so easy to not hit record. And then I would say, once you're there, once you found that why, the second thing I would tell people, which I learned way too late, is just to batch as many episodes as you can. Like, I can't tell you how much that saved me from burnout. I went through this last week, I've recorded like 16 episodes and now I'm batched out through like August. And and like, that's such a great feeling. Now I have, like, I don't have to worry about guests for a little while. I might have one every other week or something, but I don't have to struggle to find them. Now I just have to edit those. I can focus on these other things that I've talked about wanting to doing, making up my website, doing all those things. But it did take a week, like a week of really just a lot of hours. You're talking about how many hours that you were spending, 80, 100 hours a week. It's not bad to put in those kind of hours at some point, but don't make it your life. Don't make that the card you're punching every single day. Yeah. There are times you're going to have to put in that amount of work. And then other times, take a step back. Those are a couple things. Is there anything else that you want me to touch on with new podcasters?
No, I like that. Make sure you identify your why. Understand why is it important that this message is shared, and why is it important that I'm the one to share it? What's my unique proposition? And if you are passionate about it, then it'll help you to be able to stay consistent. And the other one is batching, where we can focus on putting out and getting some of it ready to go so that we can kind of relax. What's kind of cool is, like, Joe, with you, wanted to take a month or two in Hawaii, you have it. Like, you'd have the ability. You got to edit these and schedule them, but they're already recorded. You don't have to stress about it. You don't have to think about it. And you could be gone until August. This is pretty cool. And something that I recommend as well, I really think, like, if we could have 12 episodes that are evergreen episodes just in the can at all times, that can now allow us, if we're doing 3 episodes a week, that's an entire month. If we're doing 1 a week, that's 3 months of content. So we'd have the ability to, I had a client, he went to Hawaii and I think he went for like 3 or 4 weeks and then he got COVID on the way back. And so when he got back, he didn't have a voice to be able to record anything. And then when he came back to work, when he was starting to feel better, he had to focus on work. He couldn't really focus on the podcast. And like a week later, he had emergency gallbladder surgery. Insane, right? Like, it's this after this after this. So he's gone for 3 or 4 weeks, then 3 or 4 more weeks, and he can't record anything. So for 2 months, he was unable to put out any episodes. And the problem is he lost a few listeners. We got him back eventually with marketing and everything, but he lost some listeners because he only had 6 weeks of episodes ready, not 8. He needed 8. So it took a couple of weeks to kind of get back on the horse, and it did affect him. I've heard of other people that got affected and some that don't feel like they got affected that much. But I think it matters a lot to A, not feel like you're behind the 8 ball, and B, to make sure that you have the ability to have gallbladder surgery without being behind on episodes as well. So that was really, really good. So you can find Joe by just going wherever you're listening to this podcast. You'll just look for Pillow Talk with Bros and go and check him out. Listen to a couple of episodes. And if you wouldn't mind, if you are so inclined, just give him an honest review of the podcast. Like whatever you think about his podcast, give him an honest rating and review. Let him know where you heard about him. And trying to think what else I want to say. Joe, how does the listener find you and get a hold of you?
Yeah, a couple ways. Instagram's a great way. I'm very active on there. At Pillow Talk Bros is the handle, or at Joe Kennis, J-O-E-K-N-I-S. Either one of those. I'm very active on there. And then also there's an email too, pillowtalkbros@gmail.com. It's all one word, all lowercase, pillowtalkbros@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook too, if you search Pillow Talk Bros. I'm not as active on Facebook as I probably should be, but Facebook is just not a great place for me personally, mentally, mental health wise. So that's why I stick to Instagram. But those would be the places. If you want to reach out to me personally, definitely do that.
Got it. Thank you. That will all be in the show notes. So you could just scroll down right now if you're listening and you'd be able to connect with Joe. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, appreciate thank you. That. It's always great talking to you, man. I love what you're doing. And I really hope that you are able to juggle all the chairs for your podcast.
It makes it sound so much worse when they're chairs. I was just juggling balls before and now I'm juggling chairs. It sounds like
it
I really
sounds
need
impressive.
To get this. It does. It sounds
impressive.
Awesome. Joe, thanks again. I'm going to let you go, and that's a wrap. This episode's brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now, and feel free to schedule a call with me, and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.